Welcome to the Imperfect Parent Podcast, Gospel Hope for Imperfect Parents. I'm Brendan Willis, a pastor at Sovereign Grace Church in Wurunga on the North Shore of Sydney. I'm joined by Dave Taylor,
Hello.
Lead pastor at Sovereign Grace Church in Wurunga. G'day, mate. And his lovely wife, Emma, who leads our women's ministry.
Hello.
I wish you could see her.
I'm glad you can't, actually. Well, face for a podcast, not a video.
No, my love. Much my face.
Well, we're thankful to have you here, and it's wonderful to have so much wisdom. We've been serving now together for over 14 years, guys.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, a long time.
You can get lost for murder.
How have you put up with me for so long?
It's been wonderful.
Well, obviously, we're kicking off our podcast with the first episode today. The obvious question is, why another podcast on parenting? Aren't there enough already?
Yes.
Yeah. So I was asking myself that question just this morning as I left the house. Why are we doing this again?
Yes.
So do tell us, Brendan. We're all ears.
Why are we doing it?
I'm asking the
why
questions
are we doing
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I don't mind
why
you doing
you?
It, Brendan.
I think the title suits us.
Yes, that's the only reason
the
I agree to it.
Parents,
the imperfect
welcome, parents. Mr. and Mrs. Imperfect Parents.
We can tell you all what not to do.
Yeah.
It's so true, though, isn't it? That all of us as parents just, I think, we're constantly faced with our imperfections and our failures as parents.
Yep.
And yet at the same time, I think we feel a deep conviction that the gospel has something to say about that.
Yeah.
You know, I guess I've been mindful of that just in listening to a lot of the parents in our church and our friends, that there's a lot of advice out there that tends to have a similar message, which is kind of this all kind of hinges on you. And you need to kind of get this right, or you could stuff up your children for the rest of their lives.
You're going to make or break your kids.
You are the critical factor. Mm. And I think, you know, Charlotte and I, we're really early in our parenting journey, but we do have a conviction that God's present with us, and that there's hope to be found in Christ and in the Bible. And at least that's part of my heart, is that more of us as parents might enjoy some of that and learn from others. So that's why I'm here as the host. I'm looking to you guys as the source of wisdom here.
The imperfect parents.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, look, I think that my big heart in seeing this done, well, let me say two things for our church folks so we not be confused. Firstly, I think for Aaron and I, if there's ever a podcast we didn't really want to do, it would be this one.
Yeah.
Because if we don't, we don't feel qualified in most things. But this would be one of those you're like, yeah, is there anybody else? And we looked at that. We seriously looked at, okay, well, who else could do this instead of us? Because you're just aware, yeah, we've done some things well in God's kindness. We've made other mistakes that were all us. And we're still in the thick of parenting. Even though our kids are different ages, you're still very much there. And yet we're here ultimately, not because we're perfect parents. We're definitely the imperfect parent variety. But I think with a real heart for our folk. Mm. And I think when we were younger, we had a lot of people helping. There was a lot of seminars, a lot of messages on parenting, some really good books that suited the generation and the season people were in. Whereas now there is an avalanche of advisors on this. And people have much less time.
Mm.
So shortage of time, many advisors. And so as you look on with people, you're just aware, gosh, so many people seem overwhelmed and discouraged.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, particularly when we lived in the States, which was just before we had kids, we were around many, many, many really wonderful parents that we learned a lot from. Mm-hmm. And so if we can pass some of that on, what we learned 20 years ago, then we'd be glad to.
Mm. Oh, that's awesome. Some wonderful reflections here. And I think you're tapping into a vein of something that's on my heart as well. And it's something that I've observed, even as a young parent, is that, like, there seems to be a lot of parenting in isolation, where it's kind of like you and your, you know, iPhone, trying to tap into the latest podcast, maybe like this one, or not, or worldly wisdom, or counseling, or Dr. Google, and kind of standing together just as a couple alone without anyone with you on the journey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's right. Yeah. And the truth is, I think for many people, you know, if we're honest, they want to be alone too. There's to a degree of, no, my kid's unique. They're very different from every other kid that I've ever met. And so I need to sift through all the advice and then just make my own path for my kid, unaware that the Bible speaks to these things at all.
Yeah.
As if the Bible is just something completely different.
Yeah.
Rather than realizing, no, the Bible speaks to you as a parent, and it speaks to your kids. It's all in God's word. Otherwise, we're saying there's this massive area of our life that the Bible has nothing to do with, which is so not true.
Yeah, that's so true, isn't it? That we can overlook the Bible as the greatest source of wisdom we have as parents.
Yeah, Jesus wants to help.
And I guess like one thing that we're really talking about here then, for you guys aware of your imperfections and us aware of imperfections and just starting out, is the beautiful gift of being in the community of Jesus, with the people of Jesus, where we're sharing that word back and forth with one another, we're encouraging one another in Christ, and together, all of us as imperfect parents, growing together in more glory to Jesus in and through our parenting. And I think that's kind of the vision of this podcast in a way, is that people would catch that vision of us together, Bibles open, praying for one another, sharing God's word with one another and growing together as imperfect parents to honor the Lord
Jesus.
Get
the conversation started, huh?
Yeah, get it started.
Yes, amen. And, good.
And particularly looking to benefit from you guys and your wisdom. Well, that probably leads us to the next thing I really wanted to ask you guys. Obviously, like, this is our first episode and we're just kind of kicking off. I'd love to hear a bit about your parenting journey. When did you guys first become parents?
We were so young.
We were.
How long had we been married for?
Nearly 24 years.
No. But oh, we when had we a kid. Got, oh, not 24 years before Josh was born.
Now.
Oh, hold on, am I like 83?
It's coming up to your 50th anniversary.
How long have we been married for?
We had been married two years. Yeah.
So married 2 years. And then, so we really had it. We got married. And then a year in the States, came back, and you were pregnant pretty quick off the back of that, come to think of it. So most of our married life, the vast majority, we've been parents. We only had 2 years outside of being parents. So, yeah, now we have five kids. Josh, who's 21. Amy, who's...
about to turn 20.
Oh, my. I'm just aging, by the way. Lydia, 17. Liam, who's 13.
Wow.
And Savannah, who's 14, 11. Is that right? 11?
No,
12.
Close, yes. You're so close to getting all right.
I did so well. I got all the way to
fifth. That's why I wanted to let you answer that question. I actually wanted to see if you knew all our kids' names and ages.
It was a setup.
It was.
That's so good.
And for our listeners, we have our older three are all biological kids. Younger two are in foster care with us. So there's two sort of different
parenting journeys, really.
Yeah, slightly different parenting journeys.
It's been beautiful to watch because... you guys had just got the kids when Charlotte and I got married, coming on 10
that's
years ago.
That's right. I remember bringing them. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. You were fresh into the foster caring space.
Fresh, yes.
Bleary eyed.
Yeah, naive. Yes, we're all the above.
10 years, yeah.
Yeah, yes. 10 years. Jeez, man. It's been a wonderful a joy to watch you guys and how God's blessed you with those two and used those two as a significant means of grace.
Yeah,
to grow you guys over the years. So it's been wonderful to watch from the cheap seats. Mm-hmm. Charlotte and I, we've been married coming on 10 years. We have three kids, and I think it's probably safe to say now a fourth on the way. I think that's pretty well public knowledge.
Shining.
Wonderful. Coming in October. So our kids are Elijah, who's 4.5, and then we have Isaac, who's turning 3 next month, or probably... last month, depending on when you're listening to this. Then we've got Benji, who turned 1 at the start of the year. And then our littlest one, number 4, who's due in October.
Is it going to be a boy or a girl? This is the question.
Well, or is it going to be 1 or 2? That's the other question.
Always the big question.
Well, we found out the other day.
Finish with the finale.
Well, yeah, that's it. We want to go out with a bang. So if we're going to have
bang, bang.
Yeah, public meltdown. Why not do it in style?
Yeah, go for it.
No, but Charlotte's mum was exactly the same age. My wife, Charlotte, is a twin, and she was exactly the same age when she was pregnant with Charlotte and Celine as Charlotte is now with this pregnancy. So,
could be trouble ahead, Brendan.
Scan could be exciting. Yeah.
Stay tuned.
Double trouble. We should just be counselling Brendan.
Oh, man. The next episode, we're going to do a Pray for Charlotte episode.
I already need it. So how much counseling am I going to need on the other side of that announcement? So, but we're full of faith and excitement. We're so thankful to God.
God knows.
What a gift. How would you guys describe the journey of parenting over the last 22 years?
Yeah.
You pick a couple of words. What would you say?
Well, when you ask that question, the first word that comes to mind, which I know is a bit of a cliche, but it would be a roller coaster, because there have been many joys and many highs, and there have been some hardships and some challenges and some lows. So I think, yeah, a roller coaster. It's been probably harder than I ever thought in a lot of ways, and then in different times it's brought more joy than I would have ever thought it would as well. So
yeah, I'd completely agree. In two words, hard and joyful. You know, I think in life, I mean, I have the privilege of serving as lead pastor in Sovereign Grace Church, and Global Missions Director for Sovereign Grace Churches, overseeing 46 different countries. That sounds really complicated, but the hardest role I've done is actually being a dad. Mm. There's just things about it that is not the kids, but it's things that happen in your heart and things you're doing that are just very challenging. And yet, I would say it's been an awful lot more harder than I ever thought it would be. As a young man entering the world of parenting, but it's also brought more joy than I ever thought possible.
Yeah,
so it's both of those things at the same time.
Yeah, I had a lot of parenting theories before I had kids.
Oh yeah,
me too.
Oh, listen, we had. Here's what happened to us. We had Josh, and we thought we should probably write a book on parenting because we are smashing it.
Well,
and then we had Amy,
that.
And then we're like, hey, maybe we'll hold off a little bit. And then we had Lydia, and we're like, we will never write a book on parenting in our lives. It was just as time went on, you realize all these theories, all these things that you think, I will not do that with my kids. Yeah, it's not as easy as it looks. Yeah.
We'll never give our kids any screen time ever.
No, they will never see
all
a screen
these things
in their
we
lives.
Said our kids would never do. I think
I'll never threaten my
just
kids
about
ever.
Everyone. Yeah,
yeah. It squeezes things in you and presents challenges. Even like I said, a statement a few moments ago, in terms of we can all tend to feel like our kids are unique. But you have to fight that as a parent, because you have your kid and they're just, that's the best thing in the world, and you just think, no, they're totally different. Well, they're actually just the same as all the other ones, but it's hard when it's actually your kid. You feel very differently, and so there's some great joys of parenting, but some things that are very hard.
No, that's so true. I mean, I think what you're saying is really resonating with me, you know, even not yet 5 years into our parenting journey. More joy than you would ever expect, you know. That's absolutely been the story of our beautiful little boys. But yeah, also the sleepless nights and perpetual sickness and other things that are quite challenging. We really do need one another, and God's,
the
God's
best is when you see sin in them and you wonder where on earth they got that from. And then you realize, I'm just exactly the same. I do the same thing. Yeah. Same tendencies, same temptations.
Yeah. Oh, man.
It's always
before
special.
Before we had kids, I thought I was gentle, I was kind, I was patient.
I thought you were gentle and kind of patient.
And then we had kids and revealed maybe I'm not all those things I would have liked to have been.
Yeah,
that's so funny.
Yeah.
Or you realize some of your quirks that you that people have brought to your attention before, you didn't realize how annoying they are
until
you see them in your kids.
Yeah.
Yep. Like one thing is, I can be so hyper-focused on conversations and people can feel it's a bit intense. I get really into the conversation and it's just you and me and no one else in the world. And then I can't hear what anyone else is saying to me. And it's been brought to my attention so many times. And one of my kids now does exactly the same thing.
Fancy
that.
Drives
me nuts.
The apple does not falleth far from the tree.
But it's my fault. You got it from me. I've only got myself to blame.
Yeah.
Well, that's wonderful, guys. What would you say, what are some proud moments as parents, you know, over the last 22 years?
You want to go first on that one?
Yeah, it's a hard question, because, I mean, there's so many moments that flood your mind as they get older. They don't have to live that long before you feel very proud of them. All of my proudest moments would be moments where they've either really responded to Jesus, or they've displayed a character quality that I would see in the Lord, and you're just so proud of them. You just think, praise God. So I remember when Josh got baptized, that was a really special moment. He was our first kid that got baptized. And just seeing his love for the Lord and passion for the Lord and the way he worshipped, that was very, very special. But I remember even actually when he was a kid, and they did a school performance at school. He must have only been about six or seven, something like that. and all the kids were marching off the stage, and he just turned around and held a girl's hand and helped her down the steps. And I'm just like, that is my boy. There's just certain moments you're just like, I'm so proud of that. And I would say the same for Amy and Lydia and Liam and Savannah. There's just moments for each of them that you look back on and think, man, I love your love for the Lord, and I can see him in your life. And that makes me very proud to be your dad.
Yeah, that's so good.
Yeah.
I can see how that, you know, would be something so special. Like, really, as Christians, like, what we want more than anything else is our kids to know and love the Lord Jesus, right? And even a recent moment for our real little ones is Isaac is kind of obsessed with Paw Patrol, as every kid that's his age is. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And
Skyler, and is that that?
I don't know.
Oh, Brendan.
Well, I actually do. I do know a few. A Chase.
Chase is the main one. We're kind of at that stage now.
We're so
that and Bluey. So haven't seen that either.
Anyway, Isaac loves like Paw Patrol so much, and we overheard a conversation where Elijah asked him, "What do you love the most, Isaac?" And he's like, "I love Paw Patrol." And Elijah said, "But you need to love Jesus the most."
Oh, that's
so cute.
You know,
yeah.
But just so sweet to hear that coming out of the mouth of a little kid.
It is encouraging when you're like, oh, some fruit.
Would that be the story of your life? Yeah.
But it's encouraging. And as well, as a Christian, as somebody who loves the Lord yourself and understand all that that means.
Yeah.
You know what? These should be the things that we applaud the most, because when you think about it, so say if the thing is you applaud the most, I'm just so proud of the way they play football and they've done so well over the years and they've got up to first grade. And, okay, how in light of eternity is that going to make kind of any difference to anything? Whereas applauding Christ, this is going to have eternal reality.
Absolutely.
So it's you just see it with so much more depth. You know, this is everything.
Absolutely.
Whereas the other stuff, how what you did in grace. So for example, even in grace, some of my proudest moments with the kids again is when they've worked hard. I didn't even mind what they got at the end of it. I wasn't that worried. But you've worked hard, and I respect that. And yeah, that's a sign of the Lord at work in your life and your commitment to work ethic. And you, what have been your proudest moments?
I agree with what you guys are saying. I mean, look, it's definitely not, as you said, not wrong to be proud of those moments of achievements. And like, I've definitely enjoyed watching sporting games. I've watched.
Well, you haven't just enjoyed it. You've been one of those crazy mums.
I am one of those mums.
Extra coach.
I said I would never be. It's
when you're running
under
dry beat at the opposition. So it's just this has gone too far. Time out.
Now and again.
Somebody get mum off the pitch, please.
True colours coming
to
full display.
That's probably true.
And you always have the same conversation, but on the way, hey guys, let's just, you know, be worshipful today, and let's not be too competitive. Mum doesn't want to get too competitive. And then within minutes, the whistle's gone, and all right, get off. You know, it's just like, oh dear, she's gone again.
Right, we're not talking about my moments.
Okay,
Moments.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, I have enjoyed the sports. I have enjoyed different school performances the kids have been in. And I think, as you were saying, I think just enjoyed, particularly obviously our older, we have three older adult children now, and just seeing that how they have reflected Jesus, them choosing to follow Jesus has been proud moments. Not that they're always perfect, they still mess up like we all do, like, but even seeing how they have dealt with those mistakes and walked through those and owned those areas in need of growth. But I think also, I think as you were saying, just where they show those signs of biblical truths, of the gospel, just getting it a little bit. I remember even with one of our foster kids a few years back now, actually, they were talking to me and they were talking about how they had not come out of my tummy, they had come out of their birth mum's tummy. And I was like trying to reassure them. I'm like, yeah, I know, but you know, we chose you to be part of our family. And they just looked at me and they said, no, God chose me to be part of your family. And I'm like,
that's what I meant. I just anyway,
so I think but just having them understand, I don't know if they understand that reality, but at least know that reality, that God chose you to be a part of, God chose me to be a part of this family. That was one moment I will always treasure.
I think something that's really special, like in this podcast, that, you know, you guys listening at home and not privy to, is that having known these guys for the last 14 you know, nearly 15 years, mm-hmm. is that I've gone from seeing their kids as really little
ones. You were
our
first babysitter, yeah. career, I think.
You were,
I mean,
right?
I still remember Lydia when you'd just arrived and she would have been 4 years old sitting on the step saying to me, "I'm not listening to you, Mr. Willis." It was yes. a proper, like, British accent.
Yes.
"You're silly."
Was that, and was now, this, like, last week?
Oh, dear.
Or
this was 14, you know, years ago or so.
Yeah.
And just how God's grown them. And, yeah. and to watch you guys' parents from the cheap seats mm. over many, many years. And to see what fine, God-honoring adults they've grown up mm. into. And for them to transition from kind. Kids that I'm babysitting mm. to actually my friends now,
yeah.
I think is something really yeah. special.
And watching them use their gifts and abilities God's given them to serve mm. the church has been, yeah, a real joy too. Yeah.
Mm. Very sweet. Well, something we want to kind of introduce in this podcast, we do want to laugh, be able to laugh at ourselves because we're all imperfect.
You have to laugh.
And we wanna,
mm. otherwise we just cry. That's the way it goes.
I've heard it said that you have to be able to laugh at yourself or someone else will do it for you.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
That will probably
take
happen
a choice.
Too, let's be yeah, honest. So we're going to laugh at each other.
Yeah. Let's have a little laugh. Mm. And to do that, I thought we might introduce a thing called a Michael Scott moment. So all those listening at home that know Michael Scott, know The Office, the American Office, will be familiar with Michael Scott. Basically, he's the manager of The Office in the TV series The Office. And he's quite likable as a character, but he's completely incompetent and he just makes a meal of it. And so I wanted to introduce you to one example of that just so you get a feel for Michael Scott. We're going to play a little clip of it in a moment for you guys to listen at home. Basically, he was asked to be a motivational speaker at a third grade graduation for a disadvantaged community in the US. And in the heat of the moment, during his impassioned speech many, many years ago, I think it's about 9 years prior or 10 years prior, he had promised these poor disadvantaged kids that should they complete high school, he would pay for their college tuition, which in America is massive.
Yeah.
And as a result, nearly the entire grade had gone all the way to complete their graduation. And every year, he didn't have the heart to tell them that he didn't actually have the money to pay for it because he's just a low level. That's, and so he's strung them along for 10 years until finally he gets told by all the other workers in the office he has to tell them. So he turns up at the graduation ceremony and they play the following song that they've written for him in thanks for his support.
Oh, dear.
That is awful.
That's
dying.
Yeah.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to play it and we'll listen to it so you guys can hear it and then comment on a Michael Scott moment.
Hey, Mr. Scott, what you gonna do? What you gonna do? Make our dreams come true. Hey, Mr. Scott, what you gonna do? What you gonna do? Make our dreams come true.
You came into a life and made a promise that made us honest, made us realize we don't need to compromise because we can have it all. Because you made it possible for us to achieve the improbable. Hey!
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 Hey! Hey, Mr. Scott, what you gonna do? What you gonna do? Make our dreams come true.
So, Mr. Scott, Michael Scott, from Dunder Mifflin, making incredibly embarrassing
moments.
That's
awkward. Poor guy. Can imagine how much he's dying listening to that song.
Charlotte will tell you, I hate this kind of thing, but out of love for my wife, we watched the series together and I would hide.
She likes
behind
it.
Her. She does because I just can't bear to watch.
I've never seen it. I feel like I need to watch
these
it.
Such embarrassing moments.
The original Office is from where you're from.
I know. Yeah, seriously. I should. Yeah. Slough. You're like, yeah. It's a great place. You should go there one day.
So, can you guys think of any kind of. Like, we want to make this real. Imperfect parents, we're imperfect. We make a meal of things. Any recent Michael Scott moments? It could be something big, could be something small.
Where we've messed up.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think that's what we just want to make imperfect parenting real.
Yeah, it's hard to get them down. To
I'm one of my
few.
Big parenting fails was when I forgot to pick Josh up from his visit to
that was impressive.
A boys' high school. That the whole year sixes were going there for the day, as they do, you know, before they before they hit year seven. So dropped him off in the morning, dropped in there. I was supposed to pick him up at like 2:30. You know, most parents are like really worried about their kids through that day. How are they coping? Like, is it overwhelming for them? And they're early queuing up to get their kids, waiting for their little face to come around the corner. nah, not me. Gets to my excuse for this is that we had gone to a funeral that day. Anyway, right. We were back at home, and
now you're making us feel sorry for you and give away your
seriously. This is why I forgot
she's
my.
She's just a woman of faith.
Why I forgot
she's
my. Just
like, it's gonna be fine. I'm trusted
anyway,
to the
it
Lord.
Turns that I remember standing in the middle of the dining room. I look up and I see the clock, and I see the clock says 2:30, and it suddenly dawns on me, oh, I am supposed to be at the school right now picking up Josh from his visit to high school. So anyway, Dave thankfully was working at home that day, and I was like, oh, Dave, drive me to the school, like, because I knew it'd be quicker if he could drive me there and I could just jump out. So I think I was about, oh gosh, probably 15-20 minutes late running down the road to get him, and actually one of my friends saw me. She's like, don't worry, Emma, Katrina's got him. Anyway, I was just, you turn up there and you're like, oh my gosh, this poor kid has spent his first day in a high school being a small fish in a big pond, and his mum couldn't even bother to turn up.
Yeah.
So anyway, I remember talking to him about it afterwards, and he's like, I knew you'd come eventually.
Eventually.
Thankfully Josh is chilled and laid back. So
yeah,
that would be one of my big motherhood fails.
We had a recent one for me, a bit of a Michael Scott moment. We're starting a new service, and they're pretty long days, and I've been a bit sick and preaching just this past week. And just absolutely exhausted at the evening. We hadn't had a lot of sleep, and we were having some difficult nights with the kids being up at night. And so we went to bed, and in the middle of the night, one of our kids, Isaac, kept waking up with scary dreams and nightmares. And anyway, we settled him back down into bed, and then he woke up again later in the night, and I came into his room half asleep, and he's talking about Paw Patrol and complaining. I thought he was being disobedient or difficult. So I start telling him off and telling him he's getting a reminder and getting really cross with him. Reminder is like our kind of code for to be spanked. And I start getting really worked up with him and angry with him. And turns out he was actually sleep talking. And he was so we had to take him into the room and cuddle him, because that was the only way. He was actually just completely asleep. And I was there thinking it was some sort of heart issue or something, and him being disobedient when he didn't even know what was going on.
Yep.
So. We have just had a catalogue throughout our life at multi-ages of kids where you just have these embarrassing moments where you wonder if you should be parents at all. I for me personally, there's many I remember. I do remember sending Amy to school once in high heels because she wanted to wear them.
Well, I was away. Really? I was away overnight, and bad. She convinced you she was allowed to wear them.
Yeah, well, she didn't think she would lie. I remember one time. I remember
not
one time when
Amy.
I remember one time when Amy was about three.
She's very sweet this? For the listeners.
When she was about 3 years old, and she was in the back seat of our car, and we must have been talking about something. She said, "Mum and Dad, it's not very good to gossip." Oh my gosh, that was terrible.
That was that? No, we were, I don't know. I feel like that's when we were, some kids in her class had some unusual names, and we were just
laughing at the name. That's not very
kind. It's like, that's not really very kind, is it?
Yeah. And we just my embarrassing moment personally, or the moment that I remember, is Josh must have been about 3 years old as well. And we couldn't get him to drink properly because he couldn't speak very well. We couldn't get him to drink properly. So
I
we
can't
had a
quite
big,
believe
big
you're
glass
gonna
of milk.
Admit this.
Yeah, I know. I'm just going to admit it live
Go
on
for it.
And as a dad, the truth is, as a dad, I was getting quite anxious for him.
Right.
Like, what's this going to mean?
I don't even know if Josh
knows the
story.
What's going on with him? You know, he's not drinking properly and all that. And I said, son, I just need you to drink this milk. It was a small cup of milk. And he's like, he's taking ages. I said, I just needed to drink it because I was getting quite anxious. And eventually I picked it up and poured it over his head. I just lost it.
Wow.
Yeah, now good news, this idea that, well, if I do things, it will totally damage your kids. He's still living to tell the tale. All is well.
Albeit slightly scarred.
Yeah. But you look
slightly,
back on it.
Slightly scarred, but doing okay.
I know. He doesn't drink milk anymore.
He doesn't drink milk anymore.
We do meet for counselling.
But it was a terrible moment. But it was one of those moments where you just realise sometimes we bring our own insecurities into parenting. Both sides of the coin.
Yeah.
We do things that allegedly are there to help, but actually you look back and think, what on earth was I thinking? And of course, actually what happened, it wasn't long after that, we found out he had a submucous cleft palate.
Yeah.
He couldn't drink properly. And I've just poured a cup of milk over his head to try and teach him to drink better. disaster.
Yeah. Or so, there's the time you told one.
At least everybody now knows they are definitely imperfect.
Oh, 100%.
No doubt.
What about a time when, I don't know, you were having a discussion with one of the girls, I think, and then and you turn around, told to speak to the hand.
Yeah, they'll tell you about that. Yeah, that's right. They still laugh about that. Don't tell us about the time when you told us to speak to the hand.
Well, we all
laughed
about it at that moment. It was one of those moments that actually diffused the situation because it was just on those. But anyway. Like, what?
Yep. So that's enough about my sin.
But I just so appreciate you sharing that truth of often we can be anxious for our kids and that can bring out some real sinful tendencies.
Yeah.
One of our kids it seems to have like giftedness and then some sort of, I guess the word is like neurodiversity go along with it, maybe on the autism spectrum, something like that. And there's different things he'll do that I can find myself going, you know, I want you to stop it. And and it's not actually because there's anything wrong with what he's doing. No. It's actually because I'm worried about
you
what
get anxious.
What is this going to mean? And how are people going to relate to you? Yeah. So,
which again can cause you to cocoon off rather than talking about it. So I'm just going to keep out of the way because I can't quite cope with things that are going on. Rather than just going, hey, can anybody help? Is this stuff going? Yeah, we're funny people.
Yeah, we are. Mm-hmm. But praise God for family that we're in this together. We're genuinely.
Oh, I think there's a song about that. High School Musical. We're all in this together.
Yeah, that's right.
Please,
yeah.
Please don't sing it.
That should have been the theme tune for this podcast. We're all in this together.
Yeah, well, truth could still be.
That's still time to change.
I knew you guys could see this podcast. She's dancing around the office. We're all in this together. But Emma, come back.
At least I'm not singing.
But there's something beautiful about that, you know, as precious as our families are and our wider family, there's something even more permanent, even closer, even more long-lasting that we have because of Christ.
Yes.
In that what we have in our relationships with one another is forever. It's eternal. And as imperfect parents that together be feeling comfortable to share with our struggles, knowing that our righteousness, our acceptance is not based on being perfect parents, it's based on the finished work of the Lord Jesus, and we come with the same need. There's something so freeing in that we can be known in our community for who we really are and not be afraid of that.
Well, that's right. And understand that others, our community, will be such a means of grace to us. Bringing advice, bringing counsel, bringing care, bringing comfort, bringing encouragement, bringing perspective.
Yes.
There's so much goes on when we open up our lives, all of our lives. And to one another, you win, basically. You win because you benefit from others.
And you benefit others from others regardless of whether they've been through the same things as you or not. I think so often we can think, well, you know, unless they've been a parent of little kids, like I am, they probably don't have anything to help me. Well, they have the Holy Spirit and they have the Holy Scriptures. So they've got everything to help us. We all need each other, not just people that have had the same experience as one another.
Absolutely.
And, what a gift that is.
Yeah. Mm.
Well, actually, in this episode, we're really asking the question, how does our past shape us as parents? And I thought it'd be really cool to just kind of jump in and think about the memories that you guys have of your parents growing up in the UK. So any thoughts on that? What are your recollections of, you know, growing up on the other side of the world and your parents and what that was like? Maybe, Emma, you can kick us off.
Sure, yeah. I think I am very grateful for my parents and for the childhood they gave me. I think the longer I am a parent myself, the more grateful I become for my parents because I realize how hard it actually is. So yeah, I had a great childhood. Both my parents, my mum and my dad, were
poor parents. We should just pause and pray for them. That's right.
Apologize for the things I put them through.
You're listening. Right. Thank you, Paul and Jill.
Thank you.
That's
thank you,
right. Paul and Jill. Thank you and sorry again. But they were very hands-on. We did a lot of kind of parks, swimming, beach holidays, which was camping, which I've come to realize as an adult, camping is not a holiday for parents. Like, it is hard work. So, but that's
not sure it's a holiday for anybody ever. But
for a long time, that's what they could afford. So that we have some great memories as kids camping. So I'm grateful for them to that. Going to coffee shops, I remember going out for coffees and get donuts. So I think we've definitely taken that into probably our parenting. But growing up in a Christian home. With parents that actually really modelled what living for Jesus looked like and built their lives around the church. So very grateful for that. And all they really wanted for us as growing up as kids was for us to follow Jesus and love him. And just seeing how they have supported us in that, even for us, as it's meant us moving over the side of the world for them, which I know would not be their preference to have us and their grandkids living so far away, but just very appreciative of the support and care that they give us, knowing that wouldn't be their preference. So yeah, I am 100% grateful for my parents and my childhood.
Yeah, I'd be the same. Both my parents know Jesus, so I got brought up in a Christian home. Very grateful for that. Very grateful for their influence in my life. My dad worked very hard. So when I was very little, I was born into a housing association when I was actually born. We literally didn't have anything. So mum and dad still talk about jam sandwiches for them and getting me dressed ready for bed, because even though it was the middle of winter, there was ice on the inside of the windows.
Yeah, right. Wow.
No heating or anything. So my first memories of my mum and dad is my dad was a milkman. So back in the day when they used to take it around and deliver it to the houses. And then he became a flower hole salesman, so selling to all the shops. Very hard work ethic. And my mum was always a stay-at-home mum. She knew she just wanted to care for me, my brother, and my sister. Mm. And that was such a blessing growing up. And so they shaped me massively. Mm. In big part, not probably because of work ethic or mum staying home to care for his kids. Their love for Jesus was everything. Wow. It was just it was everything in their lives. Mm. So they would work hard in the day and serve us kids and do things. And then the night there'd often be church meetings on and that we'd be hosting. Mm. There's always people in our house, people that didn't know Jesus in our house, so they could tell them about Jesus. It was just that type of home. And some of my favorite memories actually revolve around that as well. I remember one time when I was sitting around the table, dinner table with my brother and sister. I must have been about 11, 12 perhaps. Mm. And we were all just saying to mum and dad, "Oh, what do you want us to be?" And they're like, "I don't know, what do you guys want to be?" And we're all talking about different job options, you know, what we could do when we're older. And I still remember my dad just saying, "To be honest, kids, we don't really mind what you do. We just want you to love the Lord Jesus with all your heart and your mind and your strength. That's what we want you to be about."
That's awesome.
Still vivid, still vividly. I could take you back to the table and where we're all sitting. It just so impacted us. And that was modeled for my parents from, I don't have any memory of that not being the case, that this is a brother and a sister who really love Jesus and are all in and are building their lives around the local church, and it affected me.
That's so good. Well, I mean, what a gift to have parents that know and love Christ. And
absolutely.
We wouldn't be the people we are today without that.
Yeah.
I think, like, for me growing up, I grew up in a working class neighborhood, Dapto. Shout out to the Dapto doggies.
Who?
And Dapto Mall. Easy way to shop and save.
Is that an advertisement?
We
get a bit of advertising.
Yeah. Dog racing and rugby and the Dapto Mall. That's kind of things that Dapto's known for. Not a lot. But it was great. Working class, blue collar, solid blue collar community. And my parents both grew up in non-Christian homes. And in their teens, sort of late teens, as young adults, they came to faith. And I think for them then, they often spoke about feeling a bit unsure about how to raise us as Christians and saying that they didn't really feel like they had anyone to model that for them. Right. They really tried to. We would go to church every week, every Sunday. But I think that that's one thing from my mum and dad is they really gave it their best to help us know and love Christ, and so thankful to have them as parents. But there definitely was a sense in which they felt unsure as people, as a first generation kind of starting out, that they had many guides to kind of help them along the way. My recollection of my parents is I remember them being very close. My dad is still to this day just a wonderful encourager. He's a very kind-hearted, gentle-hearted man. And they did really try to raise us to know and love Jesus. I probably think like their reflection is now that they probably feel like they failed at that, in that none of my other siblings are walking with Christ anymore. And so they probably feel like they didn't do a very good job, but I would say I think they really did a wonderful job.
Wonderful.
My dad was a very hard worker, and as a result, he traveled a lot for work, probably about a quarter of the year. So a lot of our spiritual formation fell on my mom. And she really, I mean, it was amazing with four very little kids at home and my dad away, she sort of managed to carry for us. But one thing I've sort of on reflection of our household is that in the 20 years that I kind of lived at home, I never once heard my parents have a fight in those 20 years.
Wow.
And I think there's some good things in that. I think a big part of it was, however, that my dad grew up in an abusive home where his dad was prone to drink, and that was very hard. And my dad was often the peacemaker in his home. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. part of the fruit of that is my dad probably felt quite, and would say he felt quite terrified about conflict, to be honest, because of his past in many ways. And sort of on reflection, I can see how some of that has been, you know, transferred to me in a way, and that I probably share a similar kind of awkwardness around conflict. Possibly is one of the hardest things I find about pastoral ministry, to be honest. That wrestle with a fear of man and the how is this going to land on other people and how they're going to feel about that. Which kind of like moves us on to the question I wanted to get you guys and your input on, which is, you know, where do you see ways in which the past has shaped your parenting today? Like where in which, as you look back on those kind of stories of things that have happened, you can see that a kind of impact there, because that can happen both positively and negatively. Like obviously all of us have been deeply shaped by having Christian parents. On the converse, I guess you guys as foster parents will know that, you know, things that have happened to your foster kids have had a real lasting effect on them as well. So I just want to talk a bit about that. Where do you see those kind of effects coming into play as parents?
I think my past, like I just mentioned a minute ago, in terms of my parents' values, that what was cheered or applauded or loved the most was seeing Christ in somebody or introducing that person to Jesus. That molded me a ton. So that when I became a Christian, I just wanted that for everybody as well. So obviously when you have your kids, you're like, well, there's nothing more that I desire than that they would find the treasure and know Christ. I want to applaud that and play my part in introducing them to the Lord. I want to make sure that that's our main thing. So I look back, that came from my past. That was my own upbringing, and it was such a value. I think then when we moved to the States as well, we were really challenged by the parents there in a great way.
Yeah,
they were just so intentional and consistent. I've never seen parents encourage their kids more. I mean, these kids were just so encouraged and enjoyed. But I've never seen parents so consistent then when it comes to discipline. It was both at the same time. It was compelling. And the fruit of those teenagers was compelling. It's like, man, there is a lot of really good kids that know God's word and want to follow the Lord. And it was pretty compelling. So we've been very shaped by our past in that regard. I think one of the biggest mistakes we can make is thinking that, you know, we've just got to do it all ourselves and figure it out for ourselves. No, I think one of the best things we did was find other people where I look at their kids and think, you know what, that's going to, and then ask them how the heck they did it. You know, what did you do? What have you learned that helped that process? You haven't just got to read a book and then have a go. It's finding examples. And I think we did that. I think we were able to do that really early on when our kids were very, very small. So even things like bread, for example, like having a date night. For us, we knew that was a value that we wanted, because we were taught that the best thing you do for your kids is have a great marriage. The best thing, that one of the best things that they're going to learn from is a mum and dad who love the Lord and that are growing in Christ and offering a picture of Christ in the church. So I think Josh was about 8 days old and we went on our first date night. Because it was just a value that we're like, we want to be so committed to each other, because it's the best that we can give him. The best thing I can do for his mum is to make her feel like a wife who's desired and wanted, and not just all the time feel like a mom. But we learned that. That doesn't come from my head. That's other people's teaching that's helped us and molded what we do. What do you think about that?
Well, I think I would just follow on actually from what you just talked about, because I think that's great, having a mum and dad that model that. But I think sometimes we don't grow up in homes where we have a mum and dad. And I think if being a single parent and just modeling how your dependence is on Christ and your love for him is massive too. So
and you can still lean whatever you're, you can still, so say it is a single parent that didn't have Christian parents at all.
Yeah.
You've still got, okay, who can I learn from?
Yeah.
Who can I bring into my
community
life?
Yeah, that's good. But I mean again, we had quite similar upbringings probably in a lot of ways. But I think one thing I'm really grateful for and how the past has shaped my parenting is just the priority of the church, and not just any church, but a good, solid, Bible-preaching, gospel-centered church. And I remember when I was probably 11 or 12 years old, my parents actually moved 2 hours away from where we lived to to be part of a local church, which I know in Australia standards 2 hours is nothing, but in the UK standards that's like, oh my gosh, that's 2 hours.
Well, yeah. They only moved for the church.
That's right. Yeah, that's what I mean. They moved because there was a church there that they wanted to be a part of because of the values and the leaders and the pastors there. So, which obviously when I'm 12, I don't understand that. I'm just right. going with my parents because that's what they're doing. But looking back on that and how that actually then shaped me for us then obviously moving from the UK to Australia as on the church part, I was like, of course we would move for a church. Why would we not do that? That's something my parents modeled to me. And I think, so I'm very grateful for that. Mm. And there was something else I was going to say, which has actually escaped my mind. But I think they did things like they did Bible reading with us. They did different kids programs. But I think the big thing I took away and how it shaped me is just their actions. Actually, not just so much what they said. They didn't like we didn't have huge, long, deep, and meaningful conversations about God every day or anything like that. But they lived for Jesus every day. So, and then similarly, I think going on to the parenting question, what you flagged about America, I think was very true. I think that helped us bring the gospel into our parenting. Mm-hmm. So again, we didn't have kids at the time, so it shaped us before we even had kids, because I hadn't really seen that done in that way in terms of how the gospel linked to our everyday parenting, rather than just training kids to behave and to obey for the sake of, because, you know, we want to obey our parents. Mm. But actually, well, why is that? Why is that so important? The fact that God has given parents as an authority, when we disobey our parents, that's disobeying God, and that's not going to go well for us. So I think that just kind of actually put a whole lot of theology, probably parenting that I had grown up with, but just hadn't fully understood maybe where it had all come from. So
true. The truth is, in life, I mean, whether we like it or not, but I think it's an encouragement to parents. The vast majority of kids become like their parents. And they don't do that because of what their parents teach them. They do that because they look at what the parents do. I heard an analogy once where somebody was saying, you know, if I tell my kids, I really want you to have a cold, but I've actually got chicken pox, what they actually get is chicken pox. Because they become just like me. They get what I've got. And so that isn't therefore, oh, so I'm a Christian, you're going to be a Christian. That's not what I'm saying. But in terms of the way they think, their values, the shaping influence, they're becoming like you. It's very hard to say to a kid, we want to be all in for Jesus, he's everything. And then they look at us on a Sunday morning, you look so bored and you miss every other week. And you never really talk about Jesus outside of, they catch that.
There was a recent example I remember hearing from the latest McCrindle research that's come out about the decline in church attendance, about Gen Z. And they were saying that 72% of young people reported that one of the most significant factors in their reason why they disconnect from church or their church habits is the example of their parents.
Actually. Is that right? There you go.
So wow, I think that probably speaks to it, is that for young people, even are willing to say a big factor in what I'm doing by way of church and being involved in the community has been passed on to me from others. But that said, I think the beautiful thing, though, it's so easy to be thinking about, well, this is my past and therefore this is going to be my future, or, you know, whether that's positive or negative. But the beautiful truth for all of us that I'm just thinking on as we're sharing is just Ephesians 2:4, which talks about, after having been talked about how we were spiritually dead, it says, but God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. And just that beautiful reality that the Holy Spirit is in each and one of us. So there's always hope for us as parents. And so as we kind of round out this first episode.
One thing I would add to that, though, because I just suddenly remembered when our time in America was we lived with a great family in America. We're still very good friends with them now.
And
their
4-year-old, kids, a 2-year-old, and a brand new baby.
At the time, now they're all in their 20s and adults themselves. And just did a really good job of modeling parenting to us. And I remember us sitting them down at the end of the year and being like, okay, so what's one thing we need to know about parenting?
That's so good.
And they just said, pray for your kids.
That's, and we were so like, out of everything that we've just been taught, a masterclass in how to parent, and the one thing you want us to remember is pray for your kids.
That's so good.
But that stuck with us, and I think the longer I'm a parent, my advice is the same: pray for your kids. Yeah, sure, there is definitely things we can do and model and input, but like, the reality is, like you were saying, Brendan, if the Spirit doesn't awaken our kids to who they are, and they
just
need
get
for
a
him,
Pharisee.
Yeah.
Obeying the law, yeah, but without a heart that loves
we
God.
We can teach them these truths, yeah, but we can't make them come alive, yeah, in their hearts.
So good.
I think that's just an important thing to tag on to.
Thanks for sharing it.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Vital. And I would actually say the truth is, when it comes to, you know, what something I've tried to grow in or things that I've brought from my past to this, it would actually be this. I think my temptation would be towards pragmatically, let's get this done, because if we do this, this will probably really help. And there's nothing wrong with really studying the part we play. We've just got to hold that in massive context with realizing it's the Lord.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. These are the Lord's kids.
Yes.
And we will make mistakes, and he will use those mistakes for their good and his glory. And we'll do things well at times, which they won't respond to at all. And you just realize, oh my goodness. And certainly as our kids have got older, what you realize looking back when the kids are little is it's relatively easy. It's time consuming and it's physically exhausting. But it's relatively easy to get them to do what you're asking them to do if you're consistent. And the things we can look at in that. But as they get older, it changes because they become their own people, and you're giving them room to become their own people. And you realize now you can't control them in the same way. It's the heart that's controlling them, so you have to influence. It's very different. And I think our prayer life has probably grown as the years have grown. As you realize, they really just are the Lord's.
Can't control.
There's a line in that Paul Miller book, The Praying Life, I think, where he says something to the effect of, we realize our best parenting has been done through prayer.
Yeah, honestly, that's so true.
That's a great thing for someone like me to take away. And one other thing I just pick up on what you guys are saying is just, I love the way you position yourself to benefit from others by asking questions. I think, you know, as a younger parent, new on my journey, it's so easy to maybe spend time even with people that are ahead of you, but never ask.
Right.
And I think for all of us, we know that if someone's not asking, it's very hard to offer our wisdom, because we don't want to assume that that's even what someone wants to hear from us. But to position yourselves like you've done so well, to ask and say, hey, what's one thing you'd want to encourage us in? I think that's a wonderful way that we can benefit as we grow together as imperfect
parents. I think it's humility, but I don't say that to say, oh gosh, how humble you were. I think we wouldn't have classified it as humility. I think we would have classified it as just, we are desperate parents that want to do the best thing we can for our kids. And we understand biblically that victory is made sure in the midst of many counselors. We need people beyond us. And so it wasn't like, we should be humble and ask. It was I can't wait to ask. How did you do that? What did you think about that? What made you say that? How do you discipline? Because we were just so wanted to do a good job with what we had been called to. And we realized we didn't have that in and of ourselves. We need the Lord. And also, as they get older, you want to ask people, hey, how do you think we're going? You know, what do you when you're around us, is there anything that you think, I'm not sure? That was another thing that the family modeled to us so well. I mean, here's a reality, right? We've rocked up in America. We are just married. No kids.
I'm 20 years
She's
old.
She's 20. I'm 24. We are clueless, never had a kid in our lives, clueless in a different country. We'd been there for about 2 months, and Tom and Renee, this dear family, sat us down and said, hey, listen, you've been living with us for a couple of months now. Just any thoughts on how we're going as a couple or as parents? What could we grow in? What are you seeing? That's humble. And we did laugh out loud. We're like, I think you're doing great. I haven't got a clue. But how humble of them to actually try and draw on us.
Two kids themselves.
That's right.
But isn't that the beautiful thing about the community we're talking about, where we all have something to offer each other, and it's not primarily ourselves. It's the Spirit of God, our Bibles, you know, the Word of God. And to keep encouraging one another. And I think that's a great reminder.
Absolutely. Yeah, we need each other.
Well, guys, thanks so much for your time, Dave and Em. And thanks so much for anyone who's survived this long. You made it.
If we're still listening out there.
You're still listening. Man, you are brave.
I reckon they've broken it up into 10 chunks, 3 minutes a day or whatever it is.
You must be desperate if you've made it this far. They must be desperate.
Times are hard.
Our next episode, we're going to be dealing with failure. We're going to be talking about some of these things like irreparable damage. Can I stuff up my child's life, redemption, and our culture of fear? So if that interests you, jump on our next episode. They're going to be coming out every couple of weeks. And don't forget, something really helpful you can do. I know we're hesitant to do this, but this will help others in our church and elsewhere to get to know about this podcast. You can subscribe to us on your podcasting app or on Spotify and leave us a review. That'll help others find us online. So thanks for joining us, and we'll hopefully see you guys again or hear from you guys again in a couple of weeks.